Hi there. Welcome once again to another session in our Generational Leadership course. And today we again are in this book, Generational Leadership, and we're going to be talking about the materials found in Chapter 10 and Chapter 11, specifically dealing with relationships. Relationships as a leadership team, relationships in a local church. We could take this in relationships concerning marriage covenants, friendship relationships. In the workbook, we're going to be on page 28, and we're particularly dealing with seven aspects of relationship. And I believe that Holy Spirit in our lives, the grace of God in our lives, is the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowing, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And these things, these seven aspects of the Holy Spirit, are the power of grace, and they're also the secrets to relationships. To have right relationships with one another, right relationships in our marriages, right relationships in our leadership teams, right relationships in our congregations as a church community, right relationships with humanity. We're going to need to have the right desires, the right motivation for commitment. We're going to need to be able to do the right efforts, the right works, works that speak of faith. They're going to need to be activated to respond to one another. We're going to need to be able to also submit one to another in our relationships. We're going to need to be awakened and contribute who we are to one another. And we're going to need to make sacrificial efforts, sacrificial demonstrations that we're a community. And ultimately, we need to be dedicated to a common purpose and fulfill a destiny. And so let's begin this, relationships, the foundation of ministry. So there are seven levels to living or life-giving relationship. Again, whenever I say this word living, I like to say life-giving. Because we often confuse living with what do I get. The truth is, if my relationship with my wife is a living relationship, then she's going to come alive in our relationship. If her relationship with me is a living relationship, then I'm going to come alive in my relationship with her. If I, as a leader of a ministry, am living in my relationships, I'm going to be life-giving to those that I lead. If I'm part of a leadership team, then if I'm living, I'm going to be life-giving to that team, life-giving to the leaders of that team. And so seven levels. So some terms for the ingredients of relationship, I believe, are commitment, faith, response, submission, contribution, love, and dedication. So what is my commitment in this relationship? What's my commitment to my wife? What is it that motivates that? Commitments are motivated. They have to be motivated. If there's no motivation, there's no commitment. A commitment really is a desire. I want to be here. I want to be in this relationship. So we're going to talk about what is it that creates a right commitment. And then the second is a faith. Faith without works is dead, according to James, and that's very true. There's no evidence of works. There's no evidence of faith. Faith is always toward a person, not toward a promise. And so even in relationships, faith is toward another person. And so in our relationship with God, our faith is toward Him, and it's demonstrated with works that speak of our faith toward Him. In our relationship as a leadership team, our relationship to one another, to one another as leaders who are part of a presbytery, equal in corporate responsibility, diverse in unique contribution to that, but we're going to do works that speak of our faith toward one another. Response level relationships are, I'm going to respond to you based upon who I become because of us. And then submission is, I submit to you to receive what's being given, and then I submit to you to give you life also. I tip in your direction, I come under, I come under, I come over. None of that is meant to be control. This is true authority in a relationship. It's life-giving, it's not controlling. And then contribution is, who am I specifically in this relationship? And so how does that look? What do I bring to the table? What do I contribute? And then love really is a sacrificial thing, agape love, the Greek word, to be able to give love sacrificially to another person. So we become a community, or we become a team, or in a marriage we become a testimony of one flesh. And then ultimately dedication is, what is the purpose of this relationship in the first place? Why are we together and what is our destiny? And so let's talk about these things specifically. Holy Spirit has anointed us as a body to be motivated for commitment. That's simply saying, my future is with you. I'm empowered to do works of faith. My heart is with you. So the first thing is I'm motivated for commitment. My future is with you. So I'm going to be empowered to do works of faith. But before I can be doing works of faith, I recognize that my heart is with you. My commitment is here. What is my commitment? Our personal relationship with God. I'm committed to you, God, because I have a revelation. You love me. You picked me. You chose me. And so my future is with you. I'm lost without you. I'm dead without you. In my relationship with my wife, honey, I pick you. I've chosen you. I know you picked me. You chose me. My future is with you. I'm lost as us without you. I can't be us without you. And who I am is us. I'm not me. I'm us. We are one flesh. And so the motivation of my commitment is, I'm always going to stay in this place of a revelation of love. You love me. I love you. And then that's going to move me beyond being motivated for commitment to being activated. I'm going to do works that speak of my faith because I'm motivated. And then that's going to activate my response to you. I'm going to be able to respond to you, but I'm doing works. I'm activated to do things. I'm making sacrifices. Levels of relationship in the Old Testament were described as seven things that you brought to the place that God chose his name to abide. Hebrews 10:1 says that the old covenant was the shadow, the law, the old covenant was the shadow of the good thing to come, which means the good thing to come had to exist before the shadow was cast. And so when Moses went up on the mountain, he saw the real thing. He made a pattern. He made a copy of what he saw. And so what he established then is the Torah Temple Society, or Torah Tabernacle Community, was a shadow of something real in heaven. We teach this in our New Covenant class. But in that shadow, he was to create a place where God's people would come and bring their offerings. Now, they brought them by tribe. They didn't just bring them as 12 tribes together. They brought them by the uniqueness of what each 12 tribe represented. I believe the uniqueness of a local church expression is not contrary or competitive with other local church expressions. I believe it's tribal in the sense of God is doing something unique in that setting, and God wants it to be expressed for the sake of the whole big picture. But if you try to be everything, you won't be anything. And so you have to learn who you are. And so I believe Deuteronomy 12 is a shadow of something good to come. And it says, seek out from among your tribes the place that God chooses his name to abide. So we have to find our place. Just like in my marriage, I found my wife. I didn't just find a woman. I found the one who was meant to be one flesh with me. She found the man who was meant to be one flesh with her. And we've worked this out. We've lived in relationship. For 20 years, I pastored and I sought to develop relationships with leaders. All weapons are formed against this, guys and gals. If you want to get weapons formed against you, try being a community of relationships, because there will come all kinds of things to try to destroy it. And we'll talk about that in this topic of chapter 10 and 11. We're talking about relationships now. We're going to talk about the destruction of relationships, and this included in these sessions. But we're talking about seeking out the place that God chooses his name to abide. There you bring your burnt offerings. There are seven things you bring in Deuteronomy 12. Your burnt offering is really a high, here I am. I'm committed to you. I'm motivated by a revelation of love. I've decided this is where we are. Our future is together. Hi, here I am. I want that in a leadership team. I believe that with all my heart. Hi, here I am. I'm committed to you. I've walked this out with some guys. I'm part of RIM, Reformation International Ministries. And this has been a battle. We've been together since the early 1990s. We are still walking as friends and in relationship. We've had some challenges, to be honest with you. We've had times where we work more together than at the present moment, but we're committed to one another in the diversity of who we are. We've learned that there are transitions and seasons, but I will tell you there are four guys on this planet, five guys that I have on the planet, other than my own kids and grandkids, that I've said I'll be with you till the day I die. And there are some others also. I think when I built a leadership team here, you know, I had a strong couple who were part of that team. They made it the 20 years with me, and they've now become integral parts also in the furtherance of that which is beyond me. My own son, Jonathan, is not just a pastor. He's also my spiritual son. He's my natural son, but he's also a spiritual son. I'm committed to him till the day I die, not just as my son, but also in what God has called him to do. And so I believe we have to find these places. We seek out from among our tribes the place that God chooses his name to abide. And we say, hi, here I am. I'm committed as a revelation of love. And then the second thing in Deuteronomy 12 was to bring a sacrifice. A sacrifice is a sacrifice. It's not always easy. It's a work that speaks of my faith. And so I'm going to be motivated for my commitment by a revelation of love. And then that's going to empower me to do some works. That revelation of love, I know you love me, so I love you. I'm going to do some works that speak of my faith towards you. So as a senior leader, I want to do works that speak of my faith toward my leadership team. But I also need the leadership team then to do works, make some sacrifices, to do works that speak of faith toward me as a sent leader to that team. I'm going to do works as a leader to the congregation based on a revelation. We are a community. It's not my will. It's the Father's will among us. So I'm going to do works that speak of my faith toward the members of this community. But then I also need the members of that community to do works that speak of their faith toward leadership. Not just faith toward God, but faith toward leadership as well. And so that's going to require some sacrifices. Sometimes it's not going to be easy. It's called a measure of faith. And the opposite of faith is natural sight. Natural sight is, what does it look like? What does it sound like? What do I think it looks like? What do I think it sounds like? What do I think it's going to be? What am I imagining? Those are all natural sight. Okay, when I find that I am empowered to do works, then I'm activated to respond to the testimony of being one as a household. Our footsteps are one. So I believe that as a corporate community, we should be one together, walking. Our footsteps are one. We are this community, or we are this leadership team. I am a marriage, my wife and I. We are this marriage. We are this family. But there's going to have to be some footsteps that we take as one. And so that's going to require responding to the other person because of who we become because of that other person with me. And so this is really shadowed in the Old Covenant through an offering called tithe. While a thing that either we don't do or we hate or we love and we do, I watched the body of Christ embrace tithe in the area of finances legalistically. I also see them fight it lawlessly. But I believe tithe is simply a level of relationship. It isn't just about money. It's about responding to the giver of bread and wine. The first mention of tithe is Genesis 14, when Melchizedek came to Abraham. And Abraham was Abram at the time. He wasn't even Abraham yet. And Melchizedek gave Abram bread and wine. And then Abram responded to Melchizedek with a tithe of what he had. Now, he didn't give a tithe. A tithe is tenth. Tithe means 10%. The word means 10%. And 10 is a numerical symbol in Scripture of a judgment of love. So I believe that Abram was responding to Melchizedek's gifts of bread and wine. He recognized that the gifts of bread and wine that came to him from Melchizedek were only a gratuity, just a small portion of what Melchizedek had. Now, Melchizedek is King of Kings. He's the King of Righteousness, King of Peace. He's Jesus manifest in the flesh. And so to be Abram, transformed to Abraham, which is God's testimony of who Abram was really meant to be in heaven, now manifest on earth, he had to respond properly to the giver of bread and wine to receive all the bread and wine, all the word, all the spirit that would be necessary to transform him to become who he was meant to be. In my relationship with my wife, I need to respond to her gifts of word, expressions of who she is, her gifts of spirit, the spirit of who she is. I need to respond to that as a gift of love in my life. I respond with expressions of my word, who I am. I respond with expressions of my spirit, who I am, so that I can receive all of what she is and we can become us. She does the same so that she can receive all of who I am so that we become us. And so this is a response level relationship. We'll talk more about this, but this is a very difficult one to make a breakthrough in because we have so many strongholds over it. And so we're motivated to our commitment through a revelation of love. And then that empowers us to do works of faith toward one another, works that speak of our faith. Our heart is with you. And then that activates us to respond to one another as a testimony of one household. Our footsteps are as one. And this is the building of a relationship. This is the first part of this building of a relationship.